Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and now up on TSN 2, Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan at the Beef Baron, I believe. What is going on behind you? What happened to the scenery?
VIP lounge.
I closed the blinds because I felt like there was a lot of glare and all that. Like, I asked Megan, I wasn't sure how the shot would look. Like, the light on, light off. Like, it's a work in progress
okay.
right now.
Yeah, you're in Ottawa.
I wasn't, but I feel like this looks like a little bit of a hostage video now. Like, this is where, you know, I'm reading something off of a sheet because
it's not overly natural, the background, but that's fine. It's all good. You got to make adjustments on the fly, right? You're in Ottawa right now.
I'm doing what I can to be on the show because this is a big show. That's why I wanted
it
to be there.
It is a big show. It's a massive show. The Jays making a splash last night,
yes.
Signing George Springer, and we'll get back into that later in the hour. Ray Ferraro will join us here in a moment. Leafs Oilers tonight, and, if I'm ranking the matchups here, it's still Matthews versus McDavid first, even more so than the team on team. I do get the impression, and I understand where it's coming from, when we mention Matthews versus McDavid, Oilers fans, freak. They're like, they're not on the same level. Talk Matthews versus Drysdale. Even then, they're not on the same level. And at this point, I would agree based on their careers. I mean, Drysdale won the Hart last year. Like, he won the Hart. He was the most valuable player in the league. But the sexier marquee is Matthews and McDavid. And
right.
That battle is ongoing tonight. We're going to see it four times in the next 10 days. By all accounts, Sheldon Keefe is going to say, let's run it. Let's run it up. McDavid gets that all the time. McDavid plays 25, 27 minutes a night. If he's playing Sid, he's playing Sid. If he's playing Braden Point, he's playing against Point. If it's McKinnon, he's playing against McKinnon. Bergeron, it's Bergeron. Matthews has been more sheltered throughout his career. It appears as if the horse has been let out of the barn, and I could see both of them playing 25 minutes tonight. I could see both of them playing 13, 14 minutes, 5-on-5 against each other tonight. And
right.
I think it's more about what can Matthews bring to the table. Because I think I know what I'm going to get out of McDavid. I expect a big game. I think his team needs it. I think this will say a lot about the maturity of Matthews tonight if he steps up and runs wild with them. And even if he outperforms them, I think it would say a lot about Austin Matthews.
I think his goal has got to be keep him inside, below the dots in his own end. Because that's the only way you kind of keep him from being effective. If he starts winding it up and wheeling around all over the place. Remember that goal he scored the last time he was in that building? Remember that one?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was there. It was 20
yeah.
feet away.
You were calling that game, weren't you?
I was. But what I'm looking at is what the Leafs can do is what Montreal did to Edmonton the other day. Montreal strangled them in the neutral zone. Like, McDavid was frustrated because he didn't have a lot of ice. And it wasn't just one man. It wasn't Philip Deneau. It was Dano and Gallagher. It was Edmondson stepping up. It was like they did it by committee because Montreal's attention to detail was, hey, we can't allow these guys any open ice. It's different now because I think Toronto just plays a different game. They stretch things out. They want a long pass. They look for to kind of open things up and use their skill. That's where Matthews and McDavid, where if McDavid wants to be slowed down, it's Matthews that has to play with the puck in the offensive zone and force McDavid to play in his own zone because he doesn't want to.
Yeah,
that's going to be the difference.
It will be. And what you also have to learn from the other night, regardless of the way it played out, you can't put Edmonton on the power play seven times, tonight
right.
and expect them not to score on you. So
yeah.
you got to try to play a clean game. That goes both ways. But Edmonton wants nothing to do with the Leafs power play right now.
No, they don't.
It that's, I'm sure, being told by both coaches, as we speak. I'm sure Keefe and Tippett are both giving similar messages. Try to avoid ticky-tack calls and try to avoid power plays being handed out as much as possible. But, and then I guess on the secondary layer, there is a Tavares versus Draisaitl. To an extent. I mean, Draisaitl is what he is, and we just listed off his resume. We know about that. But Tavares has been playing really well.
He's had a great start.
He's had a great start. So if Matthews is going to pair up with McDavid, I would think the Kerfoot line will get a little bit of the other, the Draisaitl line and the occasional time with McDavid. But you got to believe that Tavares line is going to be out there against either McDavid or Draisaitl a number of occasions tonight.
I think they'll go two lines on two lines. Like I say, McDavid versus Matthews, Draisaitl versus Tavares, and then you're going to see probably that Kerfoot line against the Kyle Turris line. And that's what I would think, because the big argument, what I was reading today, was Dave Tippett has been very stubborn to not go back to that line that worked for him last year, which was RNH, Draisaitl, and Yamamoto. He's putting RNH up top with McDavid and Cassian and keeping Yamamoto and Draisaitl together, but they're putting the I'm drawing a blank on his name, left shot.
Dominic Cahoon.
Yeah, that's Dreisaitl's buddy. They're trying to be to try to spread it out and have the two lines.
I don't like that move, Jamie. I like that line with that was a great line, man.
It was a fantastic line.
Guy won the Hart Trophy on the line, and then you change it up. It's like, give the guy a chance.
But what they're trying to do is have more balance in their lineup. That's the and when you're four games in, I can see the logic. But also you have to say we got to be concerned about wins and chemistry,
right,
and all of the
and
other
when
things.
When you try to get balance in the lineup, guess what sometimes you get? Ultimately, nothing.
Feathers. Well, you're right.
I think Ray was saying yesterday, you know, how far away are we from seeing Draisaitl and McDavid back?
No kidding.
You know, at least, and I wouldn't be shocked if that adjustment happened tonight. The Leafs get out to a hot start, get up 1-0 and feel like the ice is tilted. You got to believe Dave Tippett is going to try something. You know, you throw a grenade into your lineup, you put the two, you know, best players together. We know the magic that they can create. They've done it before. They'll do it again. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. Ray, when you think of the matchups tonight with these two teams, do you immediately go to Matthews versus McDavid? Is it more Matthews versus Draisaitl? You know, what pops into your mind first and foremost when you see these two teams playing tonight?
Oh, Matthews, McDavid. For sure, for me anyway. It just seems to be stylistically that would be the best way to go. I don't know really that you're going to get one that's like one matchup that's way, you know, way better than the other. I mean, there are six really good players that are going to be, you know, but you're focused on the four centermen really. And so I don't want to think of John Tavares chasing around McDavid. That's, you know, like that just doesn't work in my head. So I would go Matthews, you know, like I'd go Matthews.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on there. And I have to believe Sheldon Keefe is thinking that too. I think there's a better chance that Kerfoot gets out there with McDavid and might be able to keep up a little bit better. And that line might be challenged, like how well that line can perform in a game like tonight. That is what Sheldon Keefe has been envisioning, like a third line, shutdown line that can skate with Mikheyev, Hyman, and Kerfoot. Do you have the ability to throw them out, tight game, third period, and say, keep McDavid off the board? You know, we might get an answer
tonight.
Yeah,
and Hayes, even if they can get, you know, say they can give you five or six or seven good shifts a game against the McDavid line, that would free up Matthews to play against Turris. Five or six or seven times. It doesn't have to be all the time. You know, you can use different people in the matchup, but if you've got options, if something doesn't look right, you can go to the other one. Or you're tied late and you go, you know what, we're coming out of a commercial, they're coming out with McDavid. We could go with Kerfoot and then come back with our big boys back to back. And at some point, you're going to get past McDavid on that other team, right? You'll have Draisaitl, then Turris. Or Draisaitl and then Shore. So you put them on their heels by having another option. And that's the importance to me of what Kerfoot's line can be about.
Yeah, I mean, we said it right before you came on, Ray. I expect McDavid to play really well tonight, which is, you know, that's not a hot take or anything, but I think when you consider they're 1-3, he's back in his hometown, regardless of not having fans here. It's a big night for him. It's a night where he may have realized we got to drag this team to 2 points the way the rest of the lineup is playing right now, you know, defensively, goaltending. So I could see McDavid being a rock star. And I think it's more of an opportunity, more of a platform for Matthews to prove that he has arrived, you know, in a category of that ilk tonight. And not only tonight, they play each other four times in the next 10 days. If Matthews can go, you know, step for step with McDavid over the next week and a half, probably tells us something about his training, his preparation, and his ability to, you know, accept that, okay, I'm a big boy. Not that he doesn't know that, but, you know, I'm going to go out and prove it. Like, these are big moments in terms of him continuing to grow as a player.
The best guys always want to be measured and play against the best guys. Like, they, you know, like, there's great satisfaction in scoring whenever you score, but if you get the upper hand, like if McDavid gets it on Matthews tonight or Matthews gets it on McDavid, man, that's a big deal to them. Because it doesn't, they're always going to be in the press and by themselves, they're going to be measured against each other. That's just, you know, short of winning and how you get measured by winning, that's how they're all marked against. So I would think McDavid looks at this and, you know, I'm sure Draisaitl's the same, and they're like, man, we have to be better tonight because we've got other issues, but we have to be way out in front of the bus tonight. Like, that's right. How they're going to win. That's how they're right. That's how they're going to win. That's how they can do it right now until they can get their feet back on the ground, because they're running all over the place. Everybody's trying to do everybody else's job, and all they do is give up 40 shots a night.
Ray, if you're Toronto looking at a D pairing to match up against McDavid, are you just kind of doing it by committee and good luck when you get out there? Or are you pinpointing two defensemen on the Leafs blue line and saying, you see McDavid go over the boards, much like Chara, any kind of matchup, as soon as he saw that guy go over the board, he would go over the boards. Do you have those two guys, or are you just saying, who's ever out there, do the job?
No, I think the top four more than anything, but I would be, you know, I'd be comfortable enough if I'm the Leafs with the top four. The third pair, I don't want them out there, you know, if I've got a chance. I that's not the best position for them to be successful against McDavid. I would tend to want Riley and Brody more than Muzzin and Hall against them, just for mobility. Again, McDavid's the greatest skater the game has seen.
Ever.
And if you're a quarter of a stride behind him, you might as well be 3 miles away. Like, you're never going to catch him. And so I would say my best bet would be my most mobile guys.
Well, Morgan Riley's a fantastic skater. And, you know, McDavid coming north and him trying to go south, you saw what happened. Like, it's,
yeah, he turned him into a pretzel last year.
But to me, it's about containment. And if you can contain, like Montreal, I thought, did a really good job of containing them the other night and frustrating them and little sticks here or there. And they did it by committee. If Toronto continues to trend in the direction that, you know, this market wants them to, and that's being better defensively, being more responsible, that's what you need to do against top players every night. That's more playoff hockey. That's doing it by committee. It's not just one guy. Hey, we need Morgan Riley to shut down this guy. You know what? You need all five guys to be on the same page defensively so that, yeah, you're going to get shots on goal. You're going to give up shots on goal. That's what you rely on your goaltender for. But to me, I would like to see the Leafs continue to take steps. That's where, you know, I'm watching them and I go, okay, against Winnipeg, yeah, they played great in the second period. But when Winnipeg pushed in the third, how did they bend? Did they break? You know, they stuck with it. That's, to me, the sign of a team that's growing. You know, have you had any conversations or any you know, talks with any of the guys in Toronto at all, even the coaching staff, of where they want to be defensively?
Where they want to be is to cut ice off from the best players.
Right.
And so as you're talking, Noodles, I'm thinking of, I did have a discussion, and I think the most important spot on the ice, when you're playing somebody like McDavid that's that fast and that dynamic, is as soon as the puck turns over, the nearest guy to McDavid, try and get in front of him, even if it's just for one stride. Like, you can't take an interference penalty like the old days, but get in front of him, make him alter his path so his speed is reduced. And the people I talk to about playing McDavid, they talk about trying to reduce his speed. So when you talk about you know, playing as a group, it's funny, like, the forward might be the most important guy, and he might only be in the picture for a second or two. But if you slow him down, now he can't get out in the rush. You know the game against Vancouver, where he scored that unbelievable goal on the power play? He had the whole neutral zone to skate with nobody in front of him. So Edler ended up outside the Zamboni door because he was backing up so fast. Right? Like, you're like, oh my God, you got to back up. But if somebody had gotten in his path and made him alter his path. Maybe you slow him down into something that your D can actually handle. And I think that's the key against McDavid, always, is to cut his speed to something more human. Because when he gets the open ice, your D are going to have to retreat. They can't have a gap. Now they're in the zone, and now you're on the chase. I think that's the key tonight when they play him. Get to him as early as you can to just make him alter his path up the ice.
With Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, I was flipping around a little bit last night. I caught just a few moments of that Chicago-Florida game, and admittedly, it's not one I was intending on watching. And I'm not sure it's going to be.
That wasn't on your schedule?
No, it wasn't exactly. You know, Tuesday night. Let's spoon here and cuddle and watch the Panthers.
Chicago's going to have a tough one, man.
Well, that's what I was getting to. I mean, Taves is out anyway because of illness, but I just. You know, it parallels what's going on in L.A. The Kings are off to a bad start again. Drew Doughty's numbers are not very good. But you got Doughty and Kopitar, who they still have, and they're terrible. They're rebuilding. It feels like they're 2 or 3 years away at a minimum in L.A., and Chicago might be more than that. And you still get Patrick Kane there. You got Taves when he returns. I just don't know how that's going to work. Like, they're trying to hold on to the past and build into the future. Do this kind of hybrid rebuild, which I guess is what Boston did, and it was highly successful. But this, I just don't see how it's going to work. Like, if you're Patrick Kane, how's it going to work?
Well, I think it worked in Boston because enough of their players were still in the primes of their career, their younger guys, while the older guys were getting older. Like, all of a sudden, one of the best lines in hockey is, you know, they dropped David Pastrnak into it. And Marchand was still in his mid-20s. And Bergeron was getting a little older, but still, like, just a great player. Krejci was still a great player. Chara wasn't 40 years old yet. They had excellent goaltending. The difference between L.A. and Chicago, as I see it, even with those great players that you mentioned, is L.A. had 9 picks in the World Junior Tournament 2 years ago and 9 this past year. 18 of them in the World Junior Tournament. Chicago had a couple. Like, the L.A. next wave is just outside the NHL. Like, I watched them against Colorado last night, and they actually skated with them in the third period. I was like, man, that was good. Like, that was good. They're too young, and they're not quite good enough. But Chicago, I mean, like, Chicago doesn't have a goalie.
No.
Yeah.
No, I know.
They're trying 3 young guys. Anybody just go in there. They give up 5 goals a game, man.
That's the ultimate sign of mailing it in. When you're throwing goaltending out there like that,
I honestly, the only thing I could chuckle about is it was 12:45 last night, and I was watching the same game on my computer, and I was like, what the hell am I doing? I'm not even going to be talking about these two teams at all, basically. I mean, I wanted to watch Colorado play because I want to see how good they are. And I they're legit. I think they're legit. They're, you know, I think they've got to be a chance to be one of the best teams in the league. So I wanted to see how they looked and that. But I'm like, I just go to bed. Like, I'm watching L.A. and Colorado last night. All we're going to be talking about this year and what we have and the games that I'm calling are all Canadian teams.
Matchups.
Yeah, right.
Canadian matchups.
But
it's a different league.
It is. It's a different world right now.
There's
what did you think of Colorado's blue pants?
I love them.
I like them. I love them.
I like
really.
I like them when they were at home and they had the light blue helmets too. I was like, wow, that looks good.
Yeah.
They're distracting for me. That's what it is. And believe me, and I played on.
Why is it distracting?
I don't know. I'm about picking numbers off, and when you're watching, and Ray, I don't know how you are when you're calling a game. Like, I try to just identify a player by, you know, something that they, you know, the way they carry their stick, left-handed shot, right-handed shot.
Way
they look. And I was like, okay, that's a whole new look for me. I got to figure this out again. So that's kind of what was distracting me about them, you know. It's a petty thing. It's a personal thing. Yeah,
when they're out there, it is a lot of color. I was looking and going, though, oh, my gosh, like, their defense is so young and so mobile, and they're going to add Bowen Byram to it in the next week here. But, like, Sam Girard was unreal last night. Connor Timmins is in the lineup. Of course, they got Makar, who's just a stud.
Yeah.
And you're like, and then they had Devon Taves from the Islanders. Like, that's a that's good stuff there.
Yeah, like I heard, I heard the announcer say, like, Eric Johnson's probably like their sixth or seventh defenseman. I'm like, that guy was a really good player.
First overall pick.
Like,
you know?
Really good player.
Yeah, and they're chasing. And, you look at that division, like we talked about it coming in. Once you get to four and down, who knows? Minnesota.
Yeah.
It could be Arizona, maybe. I don't know. But it is clearly a race for that top seed because you want to play many in the first round. Whoever's second and third, you're playing like Colorado, St. Louis, or Vegas. You know, like,
right.
You have to avoid it. Yeah, whatever. Because they're all three of them are good teams. Like, Vegas is a really good team.
Doesn't it feel like the divisions the last couple of years with Boston, Tampa, and Toronto? You're like, man, if you can win the division, at least you can avoid the 2-3 series.
Exactly. It's the exact same thing. Exact same. Give me whoever it's going to be. Give me Columbus. Give me Carolina. Just avoid Boston or avoid Tampa. And that's what it's going to be out there. The same thing. Whoever gets first is going to feel really good about their chances. Anyway, we'll see. It's going to be fun tonight. Leafs Oilers, we see four times in the next 10 days. I guess you're calling that on Friday night, aren't you, Ray?
I just went down to the studios here to check out my spot that I'm calling the game from. And it's going to be different, that's for sure. I mean, really great setup and all that. But, yeah, I'll be in Vancouver. Gord will be in Toronto. And we'll give it a go.
We'll make it work. It's going to happen.
Yeah, you bet. All right, the best part is if there's a technical issue, I can help out, you know.
Oh, you'll be very helpful. You'll pick up your putter and start rolling putts in the studio.
They actually said today, the IT guy said, yeah, I told them in Toronto, we need to make this as simple as possible for you. And I was like, oh, geez, it's quite a reputation.
It's not even an insult. You're just nodding. You're like, yep, I totally agree.
Yeah, that's
agree.
Right. Exactly. Uh-huh.
Very sound advice. All right, buddy. We'll bring it down tomorrow, 5:05.
Talk to you then, guys. Have a good night.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom remains open by appointment only, or you can shop and buy online at MapleToyota.com to receive rates from 0%. Just saw the Calgary Flames tweet out on this day in 2003. You guys remember what happened?
No.
On this day, 2003, in Calgary. I'll give you one hint.
Traded Theo Fleury
to Colorado. Was there a bra?
There was one of the two characters involved was the last person in the league to not wear a helmet.
Mac T ripped. Did he rip the thing off? Harvey the Hound?
Harvey the Hound and Mac T.
No way.
Yep, 18 years ago today. He ripped off the tongue of
Harvey
the Hound.
Well, Harvey the Hound was being a jackass.
He was.
He deserved it.
He was out of line. And believe me, I was with the organization. I thought he was out of line. And Mac T ripped the tongue off and then held it up like a trophy.
It's such a great video. I'm watching. Like, this idiot, Harvey the Hound, he's up on the glass at one point.
Yeah.
And then is walking down the aisle and going up to taunt a head coach. There it is. Megan just put it up on TSN 2.
Completely out of line.
Yeah.
Completely out of line. So Mac T pulls the tongue and then holds it up.
I love it. That was such a great moment.
Yeah. I wonder if Harvey got a talking to after that, like just tone it down a little bit.
I hope so. Like, just relax, Harvey. Know. You're the Hound, okay? Just relax.
You're the mascot. Just don't do anything
stupid.
Go get
people riled up, but don't get in the face of a head coach on the opponent. Although
was
it was the Oilers, so maybe they loved that.
Yeah, that was 2003. Wow.
2003. That's what I'm seeing, courtesy of the Flames Twitter account
earlier
today.
That's so funny.
Yeah,
I love
pretty
it.
Pretty good. All right, George Springer is a Blue Jay. Michael Brantley is not. We thought he was coming here. It turns out that is not going to be the case. Brantley re-signed in Houston. But Springer's here, 6 years, $150 million. Jeff Blum will join us, former MLB-er, World Series champ, and Astros analyst to get his take on Springer, what he's bringing to the lineup, what he makes of the Blue Jays moving forward. It's a lot to get into with Jeff. We'll get to that, and our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. It's good to see the Grappler and Carlo Koliakovo are battling online about our poll question. I'm tracking this during the break.
Really?
Yeah, I got kids here. My wife's home. But I'm wondering what the Grappler and Carlo are tweeting at each other. Because
Carlo is all over the map on Twitter, Hayes. I call it Critter. Carlo on Twitter. He's just bouncing around. Hey, Grappler, you're nuts for thinking that. Hey, Leafs fans, what do you think? And then he's like, break the tables. It's just, it's, I call it critter.
Bang!
It's yeah, and then bang. And then, oh, yeah, the Bills are this. And then the Leafs D-man, yep, they got to play 4D and not 6. And then he's like, 12 forwards for the Avalanche. What the hell's going on?
Bang!
Yeah, it's critter.
There's a
it's
GIF.
Full,
there's,
yeah.
There's a meme all of a sudden. I'm like,
then there's a pic
that?
Of his, a selfie of his face with the Bills hat, and then there's a bang. It's critter.
Bang!
It's not Twitter. It's Carlo it's on Twitter,
yep,
and it's critter.
It's critter. You're right, because he's involved in everything.
Yeah.
He's just
like
he's,
he hears about the Grappler. Then he's like, "Hey Grappler, why the hell would you want to yell at the guy? You don't even know him." And then he's like, "Dogs are okay in Europe," and it's just bang, and it's critter.
I'm looking at it like bad take. Then don't travel to Europe. He's fighting with somebody.
He's
like,
fighting
like,
with the Grappler and with other people about
but
our
poll
question.
The best part is he will bounce around like no, like he'll go from the Grappler. What the hell are you talking about? And then he'll be like, Vegas Golden Knights. Why are you dressing 5D? That's stupid. Then he's like, Buffalo Bills, get a new kicker. Let's go Bills, break the tables. And it's just, it's everywhere. It's critter.
It's tough
it's
to
critter.
Follow. It's a great follow on Twitter, but it's a tough follow. And you're right, because and just thinking of like memes, like I live now in a through the lens of what will become meme worthy. Do you guys see Bernie Sanders today at the inauguration in his winter jacket and big gloves?
Yeah.
And it's a meme immediately. You're just like, that's going to be a picture.
There was
that
one of him on the Leaf bench with his gloves on and his jacket.
Yeah.
It's just like,
it's going to like someone tonight will put Bernie Sanders in between the three of us and he'll be the fourth member of the show. Because it's just right when you see it, you're like, all right, that's going to take over the internet. Yeah. That's going ever. And Carlo will use that at some point. Carlo will use the Bernie Sanders
on critter
by 6 a.m. Tomorrow. By the time he's on the air tomorrow, he will have tweeted a picture of Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
That's my
I don't disagree
just assumption.
With that.
I think it's going to be accurate in the end. Well, the Jays made some news last night. It was a bang. It was a bang-worthy signing. George Springer at 6 years, $150 million. He comes in to play center field. He likely bats leadoff right off the bat. And a man that is very familiar with him is former MLB-er, Astros analyst. He's been on the show many times before. Here is Jeff Blum. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing very good. It's good to be on with you guys, and I like the intro. That was clever.
Yes, yes. Well, we're excited up here. Everyone's pretty fired up for George Springer to lock in this deal. You've been watching him daily. You know him very well. You know his game very well. I think our audience is pretty familiar with it. But can you take us through your impression of him as a player and how much he's going to upgrade the Blue Jays once he gets up here?
Yeah, the Blue Jays are getting an extremely good ball player, but if you really dig deep, then you find out that George is one of those guys that you want to have in your clubhouse. He's one of those guys you want to have in your community. He has overcome so much as far as the stuttering and doing interviews, and he's helped out with charities. But I tell you what, man, the response down here in Houston has really been a tough one because they're losing a guy that we all watched get drafted, and we all watched a guy develop and become that superstar that you're talking about. And he's a bona fide superstar in the sense that he goes out there and does a lot of damage early on in games. It was a lot of fun to watch him play. He's dynamic in the outfield, throws his body around. I know that he loves hitting up in Toronto, as you guys have seen in the years past and what he's been able to do up there. But you guys are getting a very good player. It's disappointing to see him go, but at the same time, considering how his tenure was here in Houston, I totally understand and respect the fact that he was able to play well enough to get a contract like this, and you guys are going to have a lot of fun watching him.
Jeff, how much of the cheating scandal that happened in Houston, how much of that do you think comes up here with him? I know that he wasn't one of the main players involved in it. They do it as a team, I would imagine. But do you think it's just a couple of questions on day one, or is it one of those things where COVID has happened and that's kind of going to the wayside? What are your thoughts on it?
You know what? I don't think it's gone anywhere, the scandal part of it. I think it's just something that's going to kind of linger with the players that were involved. And you're right to the extent that maybe he wasn't as involved. But it, again, you know as well as I do, this day and age, it's guilty by association. And he was one of those guys on that ball club that ended up being a victim of that scandal. So it is going to linger a little bit. And I think playing a season without the fans out there to really let their – let their voices be heard in a stadium, maybe have pushed back the opportunity to 2021 to let that happen. But at the same time, I think putting on a new uniform and being able to create a new identity up there with a new ball club is really going to benefit him. But you guys watch this, and I'm kind of curious to watch this too. When the Blue Jays go through Boston or they go through New York, most notably when they go through New York, I'm kind of curious to see how the response is going to be towards George Springer when he gets into a hostile environment like that, where some of that that cheating maybe had a little bit of an impact in the postseason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a storyline. I mean, it's going to continue to be one. That was the biggest scandal in baseball in a long, long time, and it hasn't gone anywhere. And now that Springer's up here, the excitement level is through the roof, and the payment was you know, supreme. I mean, it's the biggest contract the Jays have ever handed out, but it's one that coincides with a timeline that the Jays have been relaying for quite some time. And this front office has used mm-hmm. the Houston model for quite some time. They didn't bottom out to the same extent. Like, you would remember that, Jeff. I think they won, mm-hmm. 42 games 1 year or something. Like, they were horrendous in Houston. But they drafted appropriately, and guys like Springer, Correa, guys like Altuve made it up, and they acquired the right pitching, they acquired the right trades, and the rest is history. They win a World Series, and they're competitive year in, year out. Can you see a similar timeline here with the Blue Jays, with their young talent that they already have? You add a guy like Springer, you add a guy like Kirby Yates out of the bullpen. Could you see the Jays taking a bigger step and continuing on the rise the way Houston did 4 or 5 years ago?
100%. And I think it's a noble thing that they went out there and did, as far as trying to draft appropriately, because that's one of the harder things to do in baseball, is actually rely on your draft, because you know that the guys you draft may not have that impact for 2, 3, 4 years down the road. So you're kind of projecting what could be. But the Blue Jays, and much like the White Sox too in the American League Central, those teams like the Jays and the White Sox have done a very good job of procuring talent either via trade or getting them through the draft and developing them, getting them to the big leagues. And then you go out and start to bring in some pieces like a George Springer, like a Kirby Yates, who I think is a great sign to, you know, for the back end of the bullpen, because it's one thing to go out there, pitch well, score a lot of runs, but you got to have somebody shut those games down. So that's a good signing. But I think what they're doing is extremely good, because you've got obviously the bona fide talent in that lineup. But now you add a guy like George Springer to the top of it, and with his experience in the postseason and success in the postseason, and the ability to be a veteran who's played through a 162-game season and then moved into the postseason and had success, I think that's where the value in George Springer is really going to show up, is how he affects those guys hitting behind him and how he kind of – his joy and enthusiasm and knowledge for the game kind of rub off on these guys. It's going to be great to watch.
Cannot wait to see it happen. Really appreciate the insight as always, Jeff. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
I look forward to it. Enjoy him. He's a good one.
Yep, we cannot wait. There he is, Jeff Blum, Houston Astros analyst, longtime MLB-er, World Series winner himself. And that's what you hear. You hear a lot about the intangibles and the clubhouse stuff, right?
That I wonder, Hayes, the intangibles. Like, everybody's talking about this guy, and they're talking about the right things. As a Blue Jay fan, you're loving it. But if you're a Houston Astros fan, you got to be thinking, of all the transactions and all the player movement, how do we not have this guy signed? Like, how did it get to this? How did we let this core member of our team, who has all the intangibles, the leadership, the performance, all of it's awesome, and we let this one slip through the cracks? Like, give me a break.
I never heard the idea that he would even contemplate returning. Like, it
doesn't
mean
that didn't
happen.
It's like he was so pissed off that that it was kind of – when the athlete is like, okay, these guys are dicking around and they're not doing things properly and not respecting me, then it's in the athlete's head, I'm out. And
exactly.
It's just – it's to the highest bidder. And so shame on the Astros for getting to that point. If you're a fan of the Astros, that's where your mind is at. You're like, how did you diss this guy and not respect him? You pay all these other guys from different organizations that have never stepped foot in the clubhouse, but one of the core guys, the heart and soul guy, you do that too? I've never understood that.
Yeah, I would think it's a combination of a couple of different things. One, right. You know, you're right. He was probably sitting there saying, when are we talking deal? And it just never came up.
Yeah.
So he may have felt like, okay, forget you guys, I'm out. Because I never heard that Houston was making a pitch. Again, I may be misinformed. I'm not saying that they didn't, but I never heard that
those
he was,
insiders
he was going
would have been
there.
All over that. They
never
said
came
one
up.
Thing.
It was always the Mets or the Jays. It was never Houston included in that. But I also do wonder about if the scandal pushed him out. He said, I got to get out of here, you know, for my own career. I got to salvage something here. And once I get an opportunity to leave, I got to leave.
Like, and
I
maybe that's not bad advice from an agent or someone. That's not a bad idea to rid yourself of that and just say, I'm moving on to greener things.
Like, I wouldn't be shocked if you got Altuve in a candid moment or Correa and said, listen, we can pick you up and you're a San Francisco Giant tomorrow. Do you want to do it? I could see them be like, yeah, I'll take that. Like, please get me out of here. It's still poisonous down here because of what happened. But listen, that was their decision, and in the end, the Jays lock him in, and it's the biggest contract in franchise history. And they've signed Kirby Yates. They're in on Brad Hand, who's a left-handed option out of the bullpen and a pretty decent one at that. If they can sign him, find some starting pitching, maybe a third baseman. I know the to-do list is still relatively long, but it's coming together. You know, on top of Bichette, Biggio, Vladdy, maybe Danny Jansen continues to grow. Hernandez had a great year last year. Gurriel, if he stays healthy, can play. You know, you got a pretty good lineup up here in Toronto. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to get the arms together, and it's still a good farm system too, right? So puts them in a good spot.
Thing. They look good, and you just need to continue to. I'd like to see them double down, just dive in even more. You know,
I agree. You're not even close to the luxury tax, even with Springer on the books at $25 million. They're still well under $100 million for total payroll. You know, they've got a lot of flexibility here. And I get the impression, based on what Steve Phillips was saying a couple of hours ago, strap in, brace yourself, there's going to be more. The Jays are in on more guys. But this is a really good start, locking in Springer last night. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Tee up the NHL action tonight. Leafs, Oilers down at Scotiabank. And the Raptors are in action, taking on Miami tonight. Jimmy Butler will not play. Haven't heard the latest on Tyler Hero, but I'm not sure he's playing. Drogic, I think, is a game-time decision. Feels like an opportunity for the Raps, you know, to get one here tonight against a team that they're battling with. The Heat have not been off to a great start either. And you got Miami tonight and Friday. So take advantage while you can and push yourself back up the standings. The pregame at 7 o'clock, tip-off right here on TSN Radio in about a half an hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine in just a moment. But now more than ever, mental health matters. That's why we're proud to support Bell Let's Talk Day on Thursday, January 28th. Join in to help create positive change. And the Leafs are in action tonight. The Raptors are in action tonight. First up tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. with Landsberg and Koliakova. We'll have you covered because we might have to call up Carlo. I don't think he's happy with us right now.
No, he's mad at me. He's like, why are you making fun? I'm like, dude, I'm not making fun of you. You're just an energetic sports fan.
He gets fired up on Twitter.
He does. He does. Break the table.
There he is up on TSN.
I love that one.
Look at him go.
Is that live? What is that?
No, that was last Saturday. That was when the Bills were playing Baltimore game day. He'll be doubling down. Wait till this week, man. If they make it to the Super Bowl, this guy's going to spontaneously combust.
Did he paint his face?
Oh, yeah. Super fan. Loves it.
Wow. He loves that. That's what I'm talking about.
We'll call him in a minute. Let him get
posts,
on.
He posts that, and then he'll be like, I don't agree with him dressing 4D. And then he'll be like, Grappler, you're a joke. And then he'll be like, the Leafs defensemen are on.
Pineapple pizza is gross. It's like, what is happening right now? Okay, we'll call him up in a minute.
He loves it, and that's why. He's just an energetic guy. He's Critter. It's not Twitter. It's Carlo Twitter.
I love
Critter.
It. I follow it. I support it. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, me too.
Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I am on the over tonight, Toronto-Edmonton. I expect offense. I want to see it. Maybe I'm willing this into existence, but I need to see it tonight.
I think you're right.
Yeah, and I think Vancouver gets a win tonight. You know, they have not played well. I don't think they're a terrible team. I think they realize they need it. Montreal, you know, they're playing well. Montreal's playing well, but I think Vancouver gets one. And I'm going to say Vegas continues to stay undefeated at home against Arizona. Vegas has been looking pretty good, 3-0 to kick off their season. Throw down 20, you can score 85. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio. ProLine is the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, put your knowledge on the line. So we're going to call up Koliakovo here in a minute. He needs a minute or two.
He's going to tune you guys up. That's why.
Well, it was Oda that created the term critter.
Dude, it's not to make fun. It's not to poke fun at somebody. He loves to get involved with different stuff. Like, I don't know. My Twitter's stupid. I tweet about stupid stuff about the show. I don't care, but he likes to get involved. He likes debates, and that's his job, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Well, when he's ready, we'll let him come on here in just a moment and kind of break it down for us. So, Leafs Oilers tonight. Grappler just said Tyler Hero's out. So, you know, Butler's out, Hero's out. There's a lot of talent out of the lineup for Miami tonight. So, go get it if you're the Raptors. Go get it. You've won three in a row. Make it four in a row tonight. Miami's not off to a great start. Maybe you get them again on Friday. You know, you win both of these games, and all of a sudden you're at 6-8, and you're right back in the playoff picture. You know, right back into it. So, well, they'd be 7-8 if they win the next two. They're 5-8 right now going into the game. So I kind of like the feeling of the Raptors pushing themselves back into the playoff picture. We talked about it yesterday.
How do you manage that, Hayes? You'd Leafs 5 minutes, Raps 5 minutes. You got a laptop cooking. How do you manage that?
Yeah, it's this is where you rely on Twitter, social media, and your flip game has just got to be on point. And this is what I've been working for my whole life. You know, this is like my Olympics tonight.
Yeah, the timing of it. It's all proper timing.
Yeah,
there's another guy that likes. There's another guy that likes to bebop back and forth.
Okay, you want to bring in your boy?
No, bring him in. He's mad at me, he says. He's
all right,
mad at
first
me.
Up with Landsberger Koliakovo, 6 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Here is Carlo Koliakovo. Go ahead, Carlo. Take the floor.
What's up, boys?
What's up, bud?
Listen, man, you guys know me. I can't be mad at you guys. I love you guys.
We were just saying how enthusiastic you were, Coco. I mean, you bebop around on Twitter. You like to get involved in different debates. Who dresses what defenseman? What are the Bills going to do? Let's smash tables. Don't have dogs. God, Nathan.
You're yelling at the grappler and the grapplers.
Personally. You like to get involved.
You know what? Oh, I'm a very social guy, and I think quarantine has gotten me, like, to this point where this is my only interaction with people. So I feel like I want to get involved in everything and say something to somebody, just have a conversation with somebody. And I actually wasn't even paying attention. I was getting my kids ready for bed, and all of a sudden my phone starts blowing up. It's like, oh, it's teeing off on you on Overdrive. I'm like, what?
No, it wasn't teeing off.
I turn on Overdrive, and the last thing I heard of was the Bernie Sanders thing, that was going to be the gift that I started throwing around. Then I threw a shot at Overdrive.
Well, we want to ask you about your Buffalo Bills gift. Like, is that face paint, or how did you get that thing cooking?
So it's a filter on Instagram where you can actually, like, it's one of those, like, you paint your face when you go on there. And
love that one.
Thanks, buddy. Tell you what, man, I've got some good stuff cooking this weekend for the Bills game. I'll get you all fired up.
I can't wait.
You know me. I can't get mad at you. How can I get mad at you, man?
Dude, I didn't do anything wrong, though. I just said you're so – you get horned up on Twitter about you. You're like – you like to debate stuff with people. I don't – if somebody says this team's dressing 3D, I could care less. I'm not making a comment. But you like to engage.
Well, I've got one question for you, Carlo. If the Bills gave you an opportunity to be a Zoom fan like you were for the Raptors, would you do it?
Noodles, you must be digging into my text messages because that's something that they want to set up with me. This
bang! Dude, shut up right now. You called them.
Oh, I'm telling you right now, I played in Buffalo. I know a lot of people.
Dude, they don't even know your name anymore. They do not know your name.
You don't know my name because you didn't even know I was the last guy to play in Buffalo. My last team was in Buffalo. Remember we did that Leafs trivia question, me and you?
So you're telling me they want you to be a virtual fan.
So let's just say they reached out to me last week. I'm telling you, man. They sent me a helmet yesterday.
I need to see it. Sunday is going to be tough. They've moved up the Raptors game to 1 o'clock. The Leafs are playing Calgary at 4 o'clock for some reason. Like, who made that decision?
Stupid.
And then I got the Packers game. We got the Bills game as the nightcap. It is going to be a challenge, but this is what we work towards, right? Our whole lives. But this is what we prepare for.
The best thing about this weekend is you've got the four best quarterbacks in the NFL all year in the championship games.
Yep, exactly.
Critter's going to be on fire. Critter's going to be on fire.
I can't wait to see you as a virtual fan in Buffalo. The first time ever, right? Like a Canadian.
I'm going to send you an invite, man. Come join the virtual party if it gets started.
Don't even do that. I'm not touching your Twitter, your Critter. I'm not doing it.
And this all started because the grapplers threw a poll out there of which hot take was worse. And
Well, how stupid is he, Coco? He thinks people are going to yell at this cat when he comes to town.
Why would they boo Brantley? What did he do? He didn't even sign here.
Grappler's a moron. No,
they're both outrageous takes. They're both the dumbest takes in a long time on this radio station. And that's saying something. You know,
I mean, I don't know. I played in Europe for 2 years, and dogs was the norm in restaurants. So
it's ridiculous.
Luckily for us, we live in North America, so we don't have to worry about it. All right, buddy, we'll catch you tomorrow at 6 a.m.
All right, boys. Love you guys.
Carlo Colaiacovo, one half of First Up with Landsberg and Colaiacovo, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. every morning, Monday through Friday, right here on TSN Radio. Raps game coming up next here on TSN. They're in action. The Leafs are in action. Maybe the Jays will make another signing. There's a lot of stuff going on, so enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We are back tomorrow at...
Auston Matthews gets three tonight.
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.